Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to former Royals catcher Mike McFarland about the Royals coming off a day off. They had 2 days off this week, so they should be fresh and ready to go tonight, Mac. Mike McFarland joins us. How are you, Mac?
Uh-oh.
Mac, are you all right?
Yeah, hold on. I was just finishing my game of solitaire on the phone because I was waiting for my 805 phone call.
Hey.
And it's good to hear from you guys.
Hey, talk to your weatherman, all right? See if you could forecast how long it's going to take next Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to forecast that new radar system they have on his TV sucks and it doesn't get anything right.
Wow.
That's all I know. Yeah, okay. Hold on. All right, I'm good. Let's go. What's up, boys?
Okay,
oh, Mac.
So I wanted to ask you about something we talked about with J.J. Piccolo earlier this week. I was asking him about Salvi looking so good at the plate, and he was telling us about Mike Tozar, who joined the Royals organization officially as a special assignment hitting coach in 2020. And he was formerly of the Dodgers, but he has a reputation of being a hitting guru. And Jorge Soler went and worked with him, I think, in 2018 and credits him for a new approach. And then he comes out and leads the league in home runs, and he looks like a totally different hitter. And so Salvi goes and works with Mike Tozar in the offseason, and boy, does he look good at the plate. And the Royals thought so much of Tozar that they officially hired him in the organization. So I'd just like to ask you about that and maybe what you're seeing from Salvi after being a year off, after working in the offseason with Mike Tozar. Looks really damn good at the plate right now.
Well, different verbiage maybe from the hitting coach, a different way of putting things, you know, can kind of jog the memory and things can click a little bit from that standpoint. The biggest thing I'm seeing is Salvi, his barrel is staying in the zone a lot longer. He's not coming off near as much. The barrel is staying on plane a lot better. And, you know, lastly, I think he's completely refreshed with the amount of time that he had off. The batteries are definitely recharged, but staying in the middle of the field much better. The balance, the base, his strength in his lower half, you see some similarities with what Soler does. I mean, you're talking about two incredibly strong individuals, but I think just Salvi refreshed, excited to play the game again, and again, the barrel staying in the zone a lot longer. You're not seeing him as fooled and waving as many pitches as you have in the past.
Mac, one of the things I wanted to ask you about from this past week was actually an outing that technically was not a good outing, and that was Chris Bubich's outing the other day. When you look at it on the stat sheet or the box score, it doesn't look like he had a good outing. But after a 30-pitch inning in which he gave up a bunch of runs, as a young guy who's never pitched above A-ball, his manager asked him to go out there and get 2 more innings in. We've heard a lot about how, you know, Mike Boddicker tells us a lot, these pitchers need to get deeper into games, not waste the bullpen and all of that. The announcers made a lot of the character that he showed to go back out there and get a couple more innings in. Is too much made of that, or is that as significant of a showing in terms of just the overcoming of adversity and eating up a couple more innings in that game? What did you make of that?
Well, I think it goes to his growth and development at the major league level. It'd be very easy with as outstanding a bullpen as we have to pull the plug and get someone in there to go get those 2 innings. But when you're looking at the development of a young pitcher, the ability to go out after giving up a bunch of runs in a 30-pitch inning to learn how to compete, to learn how to overcome a bad inning, it just bodes well for his future. And I give kudos to Mike Matheny on the fact that he threw his butt back out there and said, I need you to do this. Go do this. Show us what you got. And the kid went out and did it. Not only does it bolster his ego, it just reflects well on Matheny's trust in him and the development of a young pitcher learning how to overcome adversity at the major league level. I thought it was an outstanding move. And you saw the joy in the kid's face when he came off the mound. Those are the things that you build trust in. You find that in your manager. The manager tells you to run through a wall now. You're going to do it because he's shown faith and courage in you. And you went out and you did it. You got the job done. So he's walking on cloud nine coming off an inning. Yeah, heck with the box score, but the last two innings were outstanding. Just a huge step in his development at the major league level.
Mike McFarland's your guest. I want to ask you about Brad Keller. Six shutout innings, has not given up a run now in 11 innings. And he faced his own obstacle early in the game because he was all warmed up, ready to go. He's hot. And then he had sit for around 20 minutes while they while the home plate umpire's finger was dangling from his hand, apparently. But then goes back out there and doesn't affect him, and he's able, again, to go six strong innings. And 25 years old, he should be mentioned right along with these other young pitchers because I get more and more impressed whenever I watch him, and I think we forget just how solid he's been since he came up, as a Rule 5 pick with the Royals, and they acquired him and thrust him onto the roster as a 22-year-old. I love what I see from Brad Keller. What did you think of his performance the other night?
Well, obviously it was stellar. First off, I thought Salvi was going to hurl when he saw that. Salvi's like, was saying a whole bunch of words real fast in Spanish and waving to get someone out there.
Exactly. I knew it was bad when Salvi starts waving to the guy. All right, come on now. Come here. I'm thinking, oh boy, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Hurry up. But you forget Keller's 25. He pitches like a 28, 29-year-old. We just talked about Bubich and his development at the major league level. You saw a couple things. One, how well Keller can make an adjustment when his four-seam fastball was all over the place. Started throwing that two-seamer. And his two-seamer, I would imagine, is such a heavy pitch to catch. It has so much movement, so much life on it. And to be able to throw that in the zone, it shows his ability to adapt and go to a different pitch. I thought his curve and change were outstanding. That's called pitching rather than throwing, and I thought it was a tremendous move on his part. But you look at the youth in this rotation, it's just outstanding in how things are going to look when these young hitters start to come along. And like I told you last week, this team has the ability to get on a roll just because of the arms we have in the bullpen. It's up to the hitters. We were always stressing about their ability to score runs late in the game, inability to do that. They've been putting runs on the board and continuing to score them, and the offense is starting to turn around. This is what this team could possibly be. You know, they're just young and dumb enough to just continue this role, to go out and continue to play, especially in the division when, you know, you got some interleague games against the Cardinals and the Brewers and those type of teams, which you can beat up on. It's going to be a very important stretch here coming up against the Twins this week and the following week when they play them damn near back-to-back. But these young pitchers aren't scared. They're pounding the zone, throwing a lot of strikes, and pitching a little bit more to contact than I thought that they would. They're doing a tremendous job, but look, I've been thoroughly impressed with Keller. He's just a workhorse his entire career, even when he was 22, 23 years old, just turning into the backbone of this rotation.
Hey, Mac, did you happen to watch the video that Zach Plesac put out there last night addressing his situation with the Indians?
I took about 30 seconds of it to go, okay, dude, you're going to catch holy hell for this. I said, all right, I'm just going to wait to read the reviews. And universally, it's been, really? who's the idiot here? And that's the only way that this thing's going to blow up, is for someone to do something stupid like that, like we heard allegedly from the Marlins organization of what happened when they went out and the virus blew up on their team. Don't really know the circumstances surrounding the Cardinals, but still, they got to understand you have two months to do this. Why would you possibly put the season at risk, especially if when you're on a decent ball club like the Indians, when everybody and their mother makes the playoffs? I don't get it. Call it youthful stupidity, thinking they're bulletproof. Can't happen to me. You can't run that risk right now. But, yeah, I think he's been universally lambasted for that video that he put out.
We have Mike McFarland on the line. All right, Mac, big game tonight, Royals at Twins. And I know Jake's going to be locked into this game because it's a battle of the Jakes. Jake Junis and Jake Odorizzi is the pitching matchup tonight. If you don't mind, give us a quick scouting report on the two Jakes that will be facing each other in tonight's game.
Well, I think you're going to find Odorizzi a little bit more settled in. I think that was his first start, I believe, coming up against the Royals. And I think the Twins as a whole are going to be different. Whether they took the Royals for granted, I don't know, but they sure got punched in the mouth and stomped on. We're going and playing in Minnesota. It's going to be a little bit different there, and I think the Twins are going to come out to try and get their 2 pounds of flesh back. They're not going to take the Royals as, I don't know, I just thought they were very flat here in Kansas City. But Jake Junis, I think his breaking ball is going to be huge. The problem is the left-handed hitters on that Twins team, they're pretty decent breaking ball hitters, so he's going to have to mix in his fastball more. And what I've really liked about the pitching staff is their ability to pitch in. They've been throwing some balls high and tight and making the hitters a little bit uncomfortable, and have really enjoyed that to back them off the plate and not get them so eager to dive out over looking for the pitch away. So I'm really looking forward to this series. I think it could be a huge step for the Royals if they go up there and take 2 out of 3. I think it'll add some legitimacy to how good I really believe this ball club is. But it's going to be a battle because I think the Twins are going to come out looking to get a little bit of revenge.
Mac, you said it last week. The Royals could go on a roll, and that's exactly what they did. And so hopefully it continues tonight. Mac, thanks for the time. We will reprimand Gary Lezak and get you on
right.
the show earlier next week.
That's right.
Thank you.
What, we done already? What, is Stan Weber coming on? Is Grun coming on?
Herm Edwards, head coach at Arizona State, yeah. But, you know.
You know what? I think we should suspend Gary Lezak for the next Friday because of what he did today.
Would you like to do the weather next Friday and do a 2-segment deal with us?
He needs to go on the IL for a month.
That's right. He needs a quarantine from the show.
The talking list.
You notice when we had Jeff Penner on 2 weeks ago, I called you at 8:03, and you're like, what the hell are you doing calling me?
I'm not ready.
Have a good weekend, guys. We'll see you.
Mac. Thank you, Mac. That's Mike McFarland. Do you know how pissed off Gary would be if we didn't call Gary during the weather segment one day and we just had Mac on? Mac gave the temperature and just started talking baseball.
I honestly think Gary's performance today warrants that. You know, actions have consequences.
Jake, Jake, are you gonna whip up a fresh batch of bone broth to watch the Jakes battle tonight?
Oh boy,
it's a big night for you.
It is.
I mean, it's the Jakes everywhere.
It's a Jake on Jake, and Jake will be watching.
Right.
What?
You love it,
huh?
Jacob, Jake. You got everything. I don't know. Confused Nate, but it
Jake
sounded
on
right
Jake
to me
with Jake watching.
Oh boy. That's uncomfortable imagery there.
Always a step too far, it feels like. Up next, Herm Edwards, head coach at Arizona State, joins us on Sports Radio 810 WHB.